victoryasachristian.com and click on the Contact Us tab. Victory as a Christian is only possible when we are connected to other believers. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kinderman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just west of U.S. 1. For more information, please visit our website. Our pastor has written several books designed to help you grow in your faith. The titles include Unmasking Revelation, Heaven, Spiritual Warfare, Jonah, and Peter. Please go to samchess.com where you will find a brief overview of each book and a link to Amazon for purchase. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May God cause you to see all that is yours as a believer. May He sanctify you through and through this week. May you respond in obedience. Please visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is the Beatitudes, part one. I will do a series on the Beatitudes found in the fifth chapter of Matthew. The fifth chapter of Matthew begins the first and longest message of Jesus that we have in the gospel. Jesus had been announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and he had been calling for people to repent. Now, in what has been described as the manifesto of his kingdom, Jesus unveils the foundations and character of life in that kingdom. Here he teaches the ethical guidelines for life in his kingdom, and the guidelines point to the quality of righteousness that characterizes life in the kingdom, not in part, but fully in the future. The sermon begins with the Beatitudes. These qualities give a picture of the character of the true people of God, those who are a part of his kingdom and has the full blessings of the kingdom to look forward to. Taken together, they give the picture of the perfect disciple of Christ, who is the heir of the promises. The fifth chapter of Matthew starts off by saying, "And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes all began with blessed are. They are called Beatitudes from the Latin word beatus, which means happy. Happy does not seem to capture all that is intended here in the text, primarily because modern usage of the word happy has devalued it. This term is an exclamation of the inner joy and peace that comes from being right with God. Happiness may indeed be a part of it, but it is a happiness that transcends what happens in the world around us. A happiness that comes to the soul for being favored by God. That is why it can call for rejoicing under intense persecution. In some ways, the Lord's declaration of blessed is a pledge of divine reward for the inner spiritual character of the righteous. In other ways, it is his description of the spiritual attitude and state of people who are right with God. So when Jesus says, blessed are they, he is not only describing them as being filled with an inner sense of joy and peace because they are right with God, but he is praising them for their character and pledging divine rewards for it. The poor in spirit are those who recognize they are in need of God's help. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to those who confess their spiritual bankruptcy. People who are poor in spirit are those who are humble before God. They realize that they have nothing in this life that they can contribute to receiving the kingdom of heaven. They have afflicted their souls, meaning that they have humbled themselves and repented with deep contrition. And they have come to the King as helpless and hopeless sinners. There is no arrogance in them, no self-righteousness, no self-sufficiency. They are free from their own pretensions, and therefore they are free for God. Everyone who wishes to enter the kingdom must be spiritually poor, for salvation is a gift from God. And that is the good news for the genuinely poor and oppressed in this world. The poor person is not excluded because of his poverty, and the rich person is not accepted because of his wealth. Both must humble themselves before the Lord in order to be part of the kingdom. It is often easier for the down and out of this world to do that than for the rich to do it. The clear lesson is that if any are going to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must become poor in spirit. This is the message of the kingdom. It is the call of repentance. They must humble themselves before God and acknowledge that they, being nothing of their own power, possessions to merit to gain entrance. Those who truly humble themselves and express their need of the Lord, they have the kingdom of heaven. And in this, they find heavenly bliss. So how does one become poor in spirit? The implication from the context preceding this is that one would hear the message of the kingdom and learn what kind of kingdom it is and how to enter it through repentance for sin and submission to the will of God. The first step is to confess that by themselves they can do nothing and then seek the gracious provision that God has made. Verse 4 states, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The spiritual, emotional, and financial loss resulting from sin should lead to mourning and longing for God's forgiveness and healing. For mourning to be in the faith, it will be a mourning not just for the suffering and sadness of life, but for the sinfulness that causes it. The disciples of God understand that their grieving is ultimately for a world that is lost and ruined, in which God and his will do not prevail. But in their mourning, the disciples of God have opened their heavy hearts to the Lord, and they know that their grieving is not without hope. They know that their weeping and grieving is but for a time only. They know that death does not have the final victory, for the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. They know that the Messiah will turn all that away someday, and that hope brings them comfort. So the promise is that they will be comforted. They will be consoled above all when God wipes away all tears, and death will be no more, nor grief, nor tribulation. This is what citizens of his kingdom can expect. The instruction here will concern the focus of the mourning. Not for the mourning itself, The mourning that will be comforted is the mourning of the disciples, those who have the proper understanding of the reasons for the mourning, and they will have the proper faith to see them through. As people face the sadness of life, they can do so with hope if they have mourned over sin, a clear sign of faith in the Savior. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Middle age exercise protects brain against Alzheimer's. By Dennis Thompson, Health Day Reporter, Friday, May 2nd, 2025. Want to protect your aging brain? Get off the couch and do get moving, researchers urge. Boosting exercise in middle age might help people prevent Alzheimer's disease, a new study says. People who increase their physical activity to meet recommended guidelines between ages 45 and 65 had less accumulation of amyloid beta, a toxic protein that forms plaques in the brains of Alzheimer's patients, researchers reported April 30th in the journal Alzheimer's and Dementia. The link was dose-dependent, researchers added. The more people increase their activity, the greater reduction in amyloid beta in their brains. Active people also showed less age-related shrinkage in brain regions associated with memory and Alzheimer's, researchers noted. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Be Thankful. Our gratitude glorifies God as we exalt not the gifts, but the giver. No matter what you ask God for, you need to ask with an attitude of gratitude. You can ask God for whatever you need, but do it with a thankful heart for what he's already done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." A lot of people want to know God's will for their lives. Here's step one, be grateful. This is God's will. First, be grateful for what God has already given you, your life, mind, freedom, food, clothes. Everything you have is a gift from God, so be grateful for all of it. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, it does not say to give thanks for all circumstances. There is a big difference. There are a lot of things in life you should not be thankful for. For example, evil. It says to give thanks in every circumstance, not for, because God can bring good even out of bad things. There's a lot of bad in the world today, and these days you can see more of it than you think you could bear. You shouldn't be grateful for those things, but remember God is bigger than sin. He can bring promises out of pain, blessings out of suffering, joy out of sorrow, peace out of adversity, beauty out of the ashes of lost dreams, and he turns crucifixions into resurrections. God transforms the bad things in your life into good things and uses them for good. You can be grateful in everything for several reasons. First, God has a plan for your life. He can use everything in your life for good. The pain is not going to last forever. And if you know Jesus as Savior, you're going to heaven. And he's going to use even the hard things in life to build your character. Do you know what will help you to be thankful in all things? When bad things happen, don't ask, "Why is this happening to me?" Instead, ask, "God, what do you want me to learn from this?" When you learn from God, then you grow more like Christ. Then you'll be able to better see how he is working in your life and give him thanks in all circumstances. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But be encouraged, because the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news.